It's time for another episode of the Infinite Loopback Podcast, an Apple-themed technology podcast with your hosts Brian Baggett, Jim Graham, Brad Tarver, and Jason Young. You know, it just occurred to me as we hit record that for the last few alternating weeks, we haven't had all four of us here in a while. Like every time that, you know, like Brad will be missing and Jason will be here, or Jason will be missing and Brad will be here. And I say that because we're missing Jason this week.
It's good to have a pinch hitter, though, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you know, four voices is kind of a lot. So if we always just have three show up and we never lose our editor, we're doing good.
Indeed. So Jason went down to Florida this week, and we berated him for leaving on our High Holy Week, on our holiest of holy days.
That was just wrong. What the hell was he thinking?
Badass timing is what that was.
You got to be on the hook for WWDC and for the September announcement.
Yeah, there's like 2 days out of the year that you just need to be near. Or at least bring your microphone with you. I mean, come on. But what are you going to do? At least he saw it. We know he's here with us in spirit.
I think I missed WWDC, though, didn't I?
You probably did. Yeah, you're in Thailand.
I was in Thailand.
God, you're just as bad as Jason.
No. I had much better reason to be in Thailand than Jason did to being in Florida. I'll just say that and leave it at that.
He could have gone to Lake Lanier and drank and had the same experience and been back home by like 5. Let's get started. So an inadvertently released XML file that was on Apple's site inexplicably let all of the air out of the event. I mean, we knew everything that was coming by about 7 this morning, and somebody needs to lose their job over that. I guess this is like the second year in a row that this has happened where something is placed where it shouldn't be and people have access to it. I mean, that was I believe it was a sitemap XML or something that was put up there that had all of those. I mean, even the cases, even the bands, everything.
I mean, I think that had like Tim Cook's social security number in that XML file. I mean, it was bad.
That was a bad leak, but at least, you know, our expectations were set accordingly.
I still had heart palpitations as I was watching the announcement, though. You still get excited seeing the stuff come across the screen.
I know 1 year it was either Phil Schiller or Craig or one of those guys, Eddie Q maybe. Somebody made a joke of, as you may have heard, or something like that to allude to leaks when they had happened in the past. I kind of hope they were going to do that today, but they were not in a joking mood, so no, that didn't happen.
No, they seemed a little more somber today. I don't know why when I watched it. They seemed not quite as excited.
Yes, they were not happy that all the secrets were let out a little bit early. It did seem kind of low energy compared to what it's been in previous years, so that there's no denying that.
They were trying to decide if they were going to, you know, remove the toenails of the person that leaked it, or if they were going to draw and quarter them, or what?
They probably just waterboard them.
They'll be making iPhones by hand over in China. So this year, I guess they kicked things off with the watch. And I got to say, between the two, before we even get to the phones, that the watch seems like the more compelling device this year. It seems like that's where a lot of the improvement has gone. And I'm kind of excited about that. I feel pretty good about it. So right away, there's no more 38 millimeter and no more 42 millimeter. It's 40 and 44 millimeter. So 2 extra millimeters, the bezels are smaller, and the back of it is entirely ceramic and crystal now, regardless of the model, which I found fascinating.
Just looking at the display refinements between the 3 and the 4, the Series 3 and the Series 4, it's like looking at a watch that's 40 years old. It, you know, it just kind of has that look now. I mean, the Series 3 looks like it's a really old watch.
You would never think that 2 millimeters would make that big a difference, but I agree.
I just mean the way the display is curved around the corners and the way it really goes out to the edges.
The subtle curves are a big thing, and making those bezels thinner, it does look much nicer than, you know, the images that we saw before were just sort of side profile, but actually being able to see it face on, it actually looks really nice.
Yeah, like my watch now, I mean, I use the, you know,
the watch functions.
Watch function face, you know, and if you try to put a picture on there, you can really see how big the bezel is. So if you just keep it on black, you don't actually see how big the bezel is. But, you know, every now and then I'll switch it to a photo or something on there. And the bezel's really big on this watch as compared to how big the watch face is. I mean, you know, proportionally. So that made a big, huge difference, a maximum difference.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing how that goes. The highly customizable complications where they had the photos, the weather, they're really making the most of the additional real estate on that phone. So that's, I mean, on the phone, on the watch. So, but the big things I think were the...
Hey, now it's got cellular. The watch has got cellular. It's a phone too.
Well, okay. I get what you're saying. Sorry that you're without the context. I was like, what's he talking about? Did he just have a stroke? I'm not following this, but no, you're totally right. And they even called out that the, well, the way the case is designed, the cellular permeates better from the case. So it's supposed to be, better now. That was me. I got to turn my damn notifications off.
It just came through my headphones so clear. I was like, was that me?
That was my wife sending a text. So let's see. So the built-in electrocardiogram, I think that is, wow. I mean, how do you compete with that if you're Fitbit? I mean, that is really something.
Right. I mean, with the head of the like American Heart Association coming up on stage talking about it, I mean, that's pretty good stuff.
It's times like this that I really do wish Jason was here, because I know given some of the heart issues that he's had over the last year or two, this would be probably something of interest to him. But the fact that you, in order to do it, you have to touch the crown and complete the, get the sensor to read, that is going to be very, very useful. I like that. I also like the fact that it can now identify when you fall. As we get older, things like that you don't think about when you're younger, but yes, that's kind of a neat feature.
They totally missed an opportunity to add like a "I've fallen and I can't get up" sound to this phone. Like they totally missed that. Like it should have been like on stage where, you know, like Tim or probably Craig would have done it actually, right? Craig falls and his phone starts yelling, "I've fallen and I can't
get up." Well, he's the comedian of the group, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He's the one that kind of gets the slapstick.
I'll put the link in the show notes, but somebody tweeted like, "This is my favorite slide deck from a slide deck ever," and it was the one where they were demonstrating what it was like to fall with the stick figures going this way and that way. That's pretty good. But one of the things that that really struck me as a result of this is that this is something that, you know, all of us that are of our age have elderly parents or elderly grandparents or what have you, and this would be a great thing for them to know that if they fall, they have a full phone on their wrist that they could touch. You know, it's going to summon emergency services. My aunt, who's 84, just fell a few weeks ago at this point. And somebody driving by saw her in her yard and stopped and helped her. So having something like that, that's a really powerful thing to a large segment of the population. And you may not even think about, you know, how useful this would be. But that was immediately came to mind.
Yeah, I agree. We should totally be able to buy our Apple Watches with our insurance. What's it called? The HSA funds now. I mean, it's got an EKG. It can do, you know, just your regular heart rate. It's got a fall detector. You should totally be able to buy an Apple Watch with your HSA money.
You know, we're joking, but that should be something where you should be able to at least get part of the purchase price or something. I mean, look at what it's
coupon.
Doing.
A coupon.
Yeah. Use our great American... discount card, I mean insurance, that doesn't cover anything to help us out. No, that would be, I don't know why we can't do that. Let's see, what else was in there that I made a note of? The reflective yarn and the sport loop band, that I think that's on the Nike. I think that's the one Jason said he planned on getting. I think that's a very nice touch. Did you guys notice that?
Yeah, I think that's a good thing to have, mainly because I have bought the reflective vests for both of my kids because they like to get out and ride their bikes and go running at night, and I can't get them to wear those vests. They're like, they're so stupid looking. You know, they would just rather get out and, you know, risk it.
That is insane. I don't know why you'd want to.
Well, now you put a reflective thing on the wristband, and if they get run over and knocked down, you could get a phone call if they have an Apple Watch.
There you go.
Both of those.
What's the sound of that wind? I'm stuck to the hood of a car, and... I'm hanging on like I'm Action Jackson over here. This is not fun. Help. Send help now.
As long as those don't look too bad, like when you're not reflecting off of them, that's the only thing I would worry about, right?
They looked pretty nice. They looked exactly like the sport band that I have out now, pretty much, with just some reflective fibers in there. So I don't think it was too gaudy or overpowering. It looked kind of subtle, if the website's any indication. There's also new Hermes bands, which normally I'm excited by those, but looking at the ones that they had, I don't know, they weren't really doing much for me.
You say that today. On Friday, you'll be ordering one.
Give it a month, people. Give it a month.
They would have
Brian
to.
Brian, you know, a couple of beers, 8 o'clock at night. He ends up on the Apple iPhone, you know, the Apple App Store app.
I went out to dinner with the missus and had a couple of Moscow mules. And I came home and all of a sudden I bought a new Hermes band.
They have to sell them separately first. That's a bad thing, is when they first go on sale, they're only with the watch. So, you know, they're like upwards of like, if that watch is like $1,400 or something. So you got to wait about 6 months before they release them without the watch. I will say that the leather on their leather band is probably the softest leather I've ever had in a band. Like, it almost feels like you're not even wearing a watch band.
So what did you think of No More Ceramic?
Man, I am really surprised. Well, okay, I'm not surprised, but I'm disappointed that because I think we were talking about that on Telegram after the event of like, wait a minute, there was only aluminum and there was only steel. They didn't mention the ceramic, and I think there was an article on the Verge that sort of confirmed that that ceramic is gone. It's no more. There's no more Apple Watch edition.
Were the sales just poor, and that's why they decided to? I've only seen one ceramic watch out in the wild, personally.
You know, I have to think that the sales just didn't justify it. I mean, that's got to be the reason. But man, that's really disappointing because that ceramic watch looked really, really nice. Much less prone to scratching, I would think, than steel or certainly aluminum. You're already making the back ceramic for all entries of the watch. I mean, that's kind of disappointing. I kind of wanted sort of a premium version of that, not for this particular iteration, but to at least stick around for in the future when finally this thing gets divorced from the phone, which it has to eventually. It has to become its own device.
With phones getting as much memory as they are now, the watch is, you know, I mean, sure to catch up here, you know, soon, right? I mean, it's the watch will be able to do most of the stuff. So, and you got the new smaller chips and all that.
I guess what the market is proving is that people will pay north of $1,000 for a cell phone, but they will not do that for a watch just because it's going to be obsolete in a year. Or not obsolete, but close to obsolescence.
But they're
going to
come out with a new version that eclipses it in a year.
Right.
You know, literally runs twice as fast.
People don't really put out $1,000 for their phones all at once. Like, most people, when you buy a watch, you got to just pay for it. I mean, technically, you could, you know, have like some Best Buy financing or, you know, 12 months, same as cash, that kind of thing that they do at Best Buy. But still, nobody drops $1,200 on their iPhone, or most people don't drop $1,200 on their iPhone. You know, they just have the payment plan, you know, where they pay for it for a year and they pay for half of it and they give it back.
Yeah, I would imagine that's probably the case. Either that or they keep it for the full 24 months and they upgrade every 2 years instead of every 1 year. I mean, that's also a possibility. I would love to just tie it to Apple for the watch like I do for the phone, also for the iPad as well, and just say that I'm going to be on an upgrade plan perpetually for those devices, but
that's it. They need the upgrade plan for the watch.
And the iPad Pro and the Mac. Yeah, I would do
all and that. The iPad Pro. I just want like an Apple subscription. Can I just get a subscription to Apple?
Yes.
All things Apple. And when they come out with new ones, I'll send you back the one I got, and we can come up with some sort of agreement on.
If they would do that on the Macs, I would be first in line.
I have to think one of these days the day is coming. So the cases, the new cases were announced as well. I mean, nothing really groundbreaking, some new colors. Same for the sport bands. You guys going to be, we're not even getting to the watch yet. I mean, the phone yet. I'm getting ahead of myself. So I'll back that up again. So new bands were also announced. I noticed they did have a gold stainless steel watch. Is that right?
Yeah, gold and with the Milanese loop in the gold that they, like, this looks really sexy.
I just don't know how I feel about that. I don't know. It seems, I've always fancied, like, the plain steel or something. I don't know, it just feels kind of gaudy. So the price starts now, $399 without cellular, $499 with it, and that's for the aluminum models. $699 if you want the stainless steel with cellular, which was $649 last year when I bought it. So I'm thinking I may just go aluminum this year and ditch the steel, because as much as I like it, I don't know. It's $150 premium for it. Nah.
Do you really think it cost them $100 to add cellular
no.
to that watch?
No.
Didn't it used to be $129 for the watch? Or for the phone, rather? It was $129 for the why am I saying the phone? What was $129? It was $129 to add
for cellular
to
on the iPad. Yeah.
That's what it was, the iPad, sorry. Okay.
Well, you're changing material from aluminum to steel, but even that is not worth, you know, the
No, I kinda get that. I'm just saying $100 premium just to add cellular to your watch. Like, you know, it doesn't cost them $100 to add cellular to that watch. And they could probably get some sort of buyback from the cellular carriers, because as soon as you pay $100 more for that watch, then you got to start paying $10 a month for your watch to make actually use of that $100.
I can tell you with the four, I am going to make great use of leaving my phone at home in certain cases. When I'm walking the dog, doing other little things where I don't need it, it's staying at home.
You would be so proud of me this week. So I've been doing implementation work for damn near 2 years now, and I'm finally back doing assessment work this week for on a new project, just started up. And so I've been in meetings almost full days, Tuesday and today, Wednesday, and I am using my watch. I'm like, I set it up, and I noticed that yesterday morning I was in a meeting, and I started getting notifications, and I was like looking at them and doing it. So I actually went to the phone and changed some things to where I would get more of the notifications on my watch, like just stuff that I wanted to see because I didn't want to look at my phone in the middle of all these meetings. So yeah, I'm actually using my watch. I was, you know, looking at email messages and looking at text messages, and yeah, so there you go. I'm actually using my watch for more than telling the time.
It feels good. Brad, just before you joined the call, before we started recording, he saw me reply to a work Slack message. Somebody Slacked me and it came across on my watch. I hit reply and recorded my little voice-to-text transcription, sent it on. So welcome to the world of actually using the watch for more than time, Jim.
Hey, I mean, you know, it's like covert operations when you're sitting in a meeting and you want to reply to something. So that's really nice.
Yeah, I've been doing the drawing with the... You know, when you don't want to use one of the pre-canned responses, using the little doodle where you can sit there and do all the letters. It picks up letters really, really well for the most part, I found. All right, so we order on 9/14. We get it 9/21. WatchOS 5 will debut on September 17th. It's kind of weird that they're getting the OSs out there as quickly as they are. That also means that iOS 12 will drop on Monday as well. So, yeah, that's actually pretty quick from usually when this happens, right? You'll announce like, hey, you're going to buy the phones on, you have the thing on like the Monday or Tuesday, you order that Friday, and usually it's 2 weeks later. It's not always a week later. It's usually you have like a 2 week buffer historically. Sometimes it depends, but
and here there'll be like a 4 or 5 day lead between iOS 12 and the phone dropping, whereas usually it's about 2 to 3 days between a new iOS and the phones hitting the street.
Yeah. And the new WatchOS update coming out the same day. You got to keep the WatchOS and iOS in lockstep because they're so dependent on each other. So I guess it makes sense. But a little strange to me that it's happening that fast. I was watching on Twitter that Marco Arment was saying, oh, crap, this means we have to go ahead and submit, you know, things for iOS 12 today so that they'll be available day one. So I think that that's a little surprising.
Who's
off
that?
Guard. He's this some guy who just does this this podcast client, I think.
Oh, that's right, Marco.
Oh, that guy.
So which watch are you getting, Brian?
Right now, tentatively, I'm going to say the Sportloop aluminum black 44 millimeter aluminum. Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. I'm pretty sure.
What's that, 529, 549?
It was 449, I think. And then
that's right, 449.
Then when you add like taxes and Apple Care and all that on top of it, it ended up being $600 somehow. I was like,
ouch.
I can't get away from $600 no matter what I do.
I don't know if I've gotten that. Apple Care on my watches before now. I don't think I have.
I would highly recommend that. The reason being...
In case you brick it.
I never keep it more than a year, right? So, or if you never keep it more than a year, what's the purpose?
So, my rule of thumb when it comes to Apple Care in general is if something is portable, I will get Apple Care on it. If something is not, I typically won't. Now, if I get a fully loaded out iMac or iMac Pro, then yeah, I'm going to get Apple Care on it. But if I go and I buy like a 13-inch MacBook, I'm typically not going to get Apple Care on it just because, well, okay, that's a bad example because it's mobile. Huh. Well, there's not really a lot of exceptions to this rule. Okay. I'll give you an idea. Apple TV, I don't do Apple Care on.
I didn't even know they had Apple Care on
everything. Oh, they have Apple Care for everything.
They have Apple Care on everything, yeah.
Yes. But if I break it or if it dies or whatever, I'll just go get a new one. I won't worry with paying. It's low enough cost that it's not, I would rather just eat the cost. I'm betting that nothing will happen. HomePods, right? I'm not getting Apple Care on the HomePod, even though it's expensive to fix if something goes wrong, simply because it's stationary. I don't even touch the thing. It sits in a corner and I yell at it. I don't see myself having to go beyond the year for that one. But for a thing like a watch or a phone, both of those things are on you all the time. You're using them all the time. And they're also, in the case of the iPhone, it's prone to dropping. And with the watch, if you want to do an iFixit on it, maybe you can. I've seen the guides. But it's rated as highly difficult.
No, I get it on the phone. I totally get it on the phone. I mean, because I've dropped my phone. Knock on whatever. It didn't break, but I've dropped my phone. You know, the watch seems pretty rock solid. I mean, it's already waterproof, you know.
You ever smack it on something accidentally? You ever bump into a door or a wall or something pretty hard?
No, and I mean, you'd figure I'd do that every now and then is, you know, with my drinking.
Give it time. You could take a tumble and smack your arm on the ground. Like, I don't know. It's just...
But then it would tell me about it.
It's going to call... It needs to make an Apple Store appointment at the same time that it calls 911.
You're like, Jim just fell. He needs to use his AppleCare for his watch.
Exactly. Particularly if you have the aluminum in that case, because that would be more prone to scratches and, you know, sort of accidental damage and whatnot. Just in general, it's like $49 or something for the AppleCare for the watch. It's not a huge deal. I have had to use it before, but it was within the 1 year mark. So it wasn't like, but I've known people with Apple Watches. I knew someone, a friend, her son was, and I saw this happen to someone else on, I think it was, the guy that does 500 words, MC, you know what I'm talking about. The one who's on Gruber show every once in a while, MC Siegler, I think. Said he was walking and as he held up his watch to look at the time and the screen just popped off, just came apart.
What's his name, like Lululemon on Twitter or something like that?
Something crazy like that. But 500-ish words, I think, is his website. And he had written about it and how Apple, you know, he didn't want to have to resort to the, hey, you know who I am type of thing to get it fixed. And they were wanting to, they did their little diagnostic and said he broke it. A friend of mine, her son, had the same thing where it was like, he's like, I'm sitting there on the bed studying and the thing just came apart and Apple wouldn't fix it. She ended up having to use her American Express warranty, I guess, to on whatever the purchase was to say, hey, give me my money back. And, you know, that's how she had to resolve it. So the purchase protection, I think it is. So, you know, I would make a case. It's probably, you know, if you're going to get rid of it after a year, then maybe not. But just like with the phone, you know, I get rid of the phone every year too. But if it dropped or broke or whatever, it would be a massive inconvenience and costly to get that thing changed or fixed. And I know I would go to the trouble. So,
I mean, for the phone, for me, the greatest thing is, you know, if you dropped it and scratched the hell out of it and you have AppleCare, then the next thing you do is you throw it across the parking lot so you can get a new phone without that big scratch on it. I mean, that's the true purpose of AppleCare for me.
Introduce it to the pavement, even though...
A 100% complete replacement.
Yes. Not necessarily new, but at least refurbished and as good as new, which, you know, most of us will take. I did like the waterproof rating on it where they were showing it, you know, drop it in the bottom of the pool, then just pick it up and dry it off and let it dry out and it'll be fine. No more having to stick it in rice or whatever. And all the tests that
they had the beer.
Yeah, they dropped it in the beer.
The beer link. Yeah, that was cool.
That would be cool to test at Apple. But speaking of all of that, let's move on to the phones. So, I don't know, the phones felt really lackluster this year a little bit. I mean, I'm happy with it. Of course, I'll upgrade. But just didn't seem...
It's hard to get excited about a CPU. And to me, that seems like the best thing going here, right? The CPU, the new CPU looks pretty awesome. Like, just the speed upgrades they were talking about. But to me, that's the single biggest upgrade, right? I don't know. I quickly watched the keynote, kind of skipping through things when I got out of work today. So
the chip is the A12 Bionic. And they're saying it's the first 7-nanometer chip with a 6.9 billion transistors inside of this thing. So a 6-core CPU, 4-core GPU. They claim it's 50% faster than the A11 that's in the iPhone X. And it also has an 8-core.
Which was already the fastest mobile CPU available by a lot.
That is pretty impressive, the gains that they've been able to make. And it also contains an 8-core neural engine that's capable of handling 5 trillion operations per second. So please make Siri better so Siri takes advantage of these things.
Right. Make the software match the hardware.
Exactly. They've got great hardware. We just need a great digital assistant that can use this a little bit better.
Siri, make my phone burn my hand. Yeah, they need to hire some software guys
or something.
We keep giving Siri a brain transplant every year, but you know that may get better. There was an article that was linked to the other day that I think Gruber linked to. Did you guys read it? Where it was talking about Eddie Q, and a couple of the takeaways from it that were really interesting was how disinterested he reportedly was in Siri altogether. How when they would bring it up in meetings and things they wanted to do, he could be seen closing his eyes and nodding off, which, wow, that's kind of telling.
That's because he's had that phone for so long, he just knows where to click and knows what to do, like I do, and he doesn't ask her anything.
Well, it's fine for an old fart like you, but when you're the guy who's in charge of the product, you got to make it better. The other takeaway from that article was that he read there was an article we talked about last year, I guess, where they compared Google Maps. There's a guy who's a cartographer who compared Google Maps' output with Apple Maps and all the deficiencies, and he said that they said that really shook him. And that was part of the drive of we're going to get in there and we're going to make this a much better product than it was. So that's the kind of thing you like to see. Like, hey, it took a shaming, but now it works. But you kind of wish that it didn't have to be that way. But we'll try to put a link in there. I know it's one of those things where you have to register to be able to read it. That's kind of lame in and of itself, but very good information on why, you know, Siri and Maps have had challenges. So I'm really hoping.
I bet Eddie Q's got a driver.
Well, just with the horsepower that they're putting into the new phone.
He didn't need Apple Maps.
And there was
Android Auto.
There was an episode of Vector where Renee Ritchie talked about how many people Amazon is throwing at Alexa versus how many people Apple puts behind the Siri's development. It's like twice the number of people. Be quiet, lady.
Yeah, it's that's not a good sign. But hopefully, with the new guy that they hired from Google, this maybe we'll see something good by iOS 13. So it's finally moving to eSIM. That's great. Soldered to the motherboard. It's going to have a second standby SIM that will be a nano SIM. So kind of nice to have that. If only the carriers will get more on board with it and make, you know, moving between them easier. I still don't like paying an $18 fee every time I activate a phone. And I don't think that's going to go away. But yes, please let me
give you... they'll find a reason to keep that or that $30 iPad charge or whatever it is.
It's such nonsense that they do that.
Well, that's like the first month I turned on the cellular on my watch. You know, it was, I don't know, $30 or $40 more than it felt like it really should have been instead of just turning on and paying the $10 a month.
Here, let us charge you money for the. It's not like they're sending a guy up on the pole to flip a switch. It's all digital. You type in the
command. There's not even a person in an office behind a desk doing it.
You know, exactly.
It's 100% computers.
Oh, it's the worst. I hate that so much. But at least we're getting an eSIM, so that's going to be nice. So let's see. Two back-facing cameras. 12.
So I missed that part, Brian, today. I didn't see that. The eSIM.
Yes.
So let's say I went to Thailand earlier this year, and I swapped out my SIM when I got there. So because there is a backup, I would still be able to do that with the new phone?
Because there's a backup.
Like there is an actual SIM card in there that you could put in there.
Yes.
But the default first one is the one that's soldered to the board.
Yes, you wouldn't have to take out your existing SIM because your existing SIM is now non-removable. So
I gotcha.
So you could have just popped secondary SIM in and said use this instead while you were there.
Oh, very cool. Very cool. Okay, yeah. That I love that design.
Apparently that's a big thing that's popular in China. The big question is here, could I go and get a Verizon phone and an AT&T physical SIM and have Verizon for one of those and AT&T for the other and just switch networks as necessary to see which one has the better data?
Yeah, can I get my free HBO when I want it, my free data HBO, you know, and then switch back to Verizon when I want to make a phone call and whatnot?
You know you don't stream enough when you're on the road. You wouldn't even approach any of that anyway. You've never been throttled on Verizon a day in your life, I would bet you. I'm much more of a data hog than you.
I don't know if I have or not. Oh no, I'm a data hog. I definitely am. I've been watching like college football like for a lot of the day on Saturday on my phone or iPad over the cellular, and yeah. And I've been traveling now for most of the last month and a half because I traveled all of August for my last project, and then now I'm traveling all this year. And And hotel Wi-Fi is so bad that, in general, I just keep my iPhone and iPad off of it. I only got onto the hotel Wi-Fi on my phone today so I could update the OS. But otherwise, I mean, right now I'm on my Mac and it's on the hotel Wi-Fi and I've got a trip mode profile set. Where, like, it's called Hotel Podcast, where it's like the bare minimum that I need to talk to y'all on Skype and record what I'm doing, and my, you know, internet still operate on my laptop.
Just Evernote and Skype, pretty much.
Pretty much.
Pretty much web browser and Skype, yep.
And Audio Hijack. So they got two back-facing cameras at 12 megapixel and a 7 megapixel for the front-facing camera. The two things that were kind of nice about what they announced was the Smart HDR software that's supposed to take better photos, better HDR photos, which is kind of nice, and the bokeh effect, the depth of the field of depth in a photo. You can adjust it after the photo is taken, which is mind-blowing.
Yeah, that was fun to watch.
What are those cameras called that can do that? I remember reading about those.
DSLRs?
No. There's like one of the cameras now that it's kind of a funky shape, and you can take a picture, and then you kind of adjust the image after you take it. I'm trying to think of the name of those cameras. They looked really neat, but they were expensive. But it allows you to do some of that. Like you take the picture, and then you can adjust it all afterwards. I'll have to Google that and talk about it next week.
Talk about it next week when you remembered what it was.
We will have to record after we do our orders on 9/14. Just to, even if it's just a 10-minute show of, hey, what'd you get? That'll be fun. Let's see. So we talked about that, the bokeh after the photo was shot. The other two phones that were announced, the XS Max is basically the XS with a 6.5-inch screen instead of the 5.8. Really, really surprised there was no real differentiating factor between the XS Max and the XS. And I'm very pleased about that. I always hated in the past when, you know, you'd want to get like the 6 or the 6 Plus. And if you wanted the really good camera, you had to get the bigger phone.
You had to get the bigger phone. Yeah, I do like that. I agree with you.
I like this sort of...
I want that bigger screen so bad, but there's just no way I would do it. It's just too damn big. I want it just because my eyesight is getting worse. And the stuff I'm doing with my phone, I feel like you could really benefit from that big screen. But also having to carry it and, you know, use it one-handed, which I realize is going to be, you know, damn near impossible for me. It just, like the usability...
I forgot about that.
Usability for my eyes versus usability for my hands.
Jim and his... 1.5-inch thumbs.
His Trump hands.
I know. I've got little stubby fingers. I may not hit the bottom, but I sure as hell stretch aside.
Yes, I am glad that they're basically the same phone with a no differentiation between it. You know, Jim in his skinny jeans, he just is not going to be able to accommodate the 6.5-inch screen.
Yeah, my skinny jeans can't accommodate anything that's 6.5 inches.
Sort of teed that one up for you. But no, at that size, I mean, even when I had the 7 Plus and the 6 Plus, that didn't feel very comfortable. Like, if you had, like, a sort of dress pants or slacks or whatever on, it really didn't feel like it was just bouncing around.
How
in there.
How big was the screen on an iPad mini? Because that's got to be getting pretty damn close to an iPad mini, right?
So the iPad mini is 7.9 inches from, you know, diagonally. I guess that includes maybe the bezels, too. I don't know. It was a 7.9-inch screen.
It's got to be getting really close, like the screen. So I know the form factor. Difference. The form factor is you know, obviously smaller because it doesn't have the big bezels, but that screen's got to be pretty close to the screen size of what the old iPad minis used to be.
You know what I would have loved to have seen if, and we still haven't talked about the iPhone XR, but what I would have loved to have seen was the iPhone 6, 7, 8 form factor with no bezels and no home button. Then I would have loved to have seen the iPhone 10 form factor, and then maybe the iPhone 6, 7, 8 Plus form factor. So have all three of those with no bezels and no button,
or an iPhone SE with no bezel.
Okay, now you're getting a little on the small side, but
Emma, okay.
But even if you,
I've heard a lot of people wanted one of those though. Like we knew it wasn't coming by now, but there's been a lot of talk about people wanting that SE small size back again. I mean, I've heard it.
An SE with no bezel and a notch.
I think it would be nice from, you know, it's the exact opposite of what I was talking about. Just like it feels really good in your hands, but for your eyes and what you're used to, you know, for playing games and just what you're used to seeing on the screen, for me now, it just wouldn't do the trick.
I don't know. I mean, if you had the normal iPhone, not even going the SE, just a normal iPhone size without the bezel and buttons, that would be like a huge phone. That would still be, there's a lot of real estate to work with.
Yeah. So the one now is about the size of an iPhone 6, right? It's just got no bezels.
Yeah,
and
maybe
no button.
Maybe that's the thing. I think of the 5.8-inch. Well, yeah, I guess you're right. I don't know. I would have rather seen something that wasn't 5.8, 6.1, and 6.5. That's once you get past the 5.8, I'm kind of like, what's the point? Why wouldn't I just have a tablet? I guess because the iPad mini is going to be essentially dead, but
we're not there yet. But why can't I have cool colors on my high-end phone?
That's the other thing we need to get to. So the iPhone XR, so there's no OLED screen. It's going to be LCD. They're calling it Liquid Retina. That's not cool, but okay.
Sad. Yeah, it sounds like a comic book thing, right?
And no 3D touch, but haptic touch. And it reminded me of the Apple Watch screen, so that when you press down on the notifications on an Apple Watch, it gives you the haptic feedback. I'm assuming that's what they're going to be getting that's comparable to that. Let's see, 6 colors, white, blue, coral, black, yellow, and product red, which if only...
Coral. That is so...
I hadn't even made that correlation until today. Correlation.
The correlation. For any Walking Dead fans out there, coral. But yeah, I'm really envious of the iPhone XR getting that product red from on launch day. That really, really sucks. I hate that so much.
No, I want a red iPhone so bad, just because hottie-totty.
Hottie-totty. You know. Yeah, but what are you going to do? I'm not going to take a 6.1-inch screen. I'm sure not going to take one that's not OLED at this point.
Or a baby blue phone.
Or a baby blue, yes.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Perhaps one that was coral. So let's see. Order on 914 arrives on 921, except for the 10R, which doesn't arrive until sometime in October because you got to ramp up all those different colors. I wonder if that's the reason they don't want to do the flagship phone like that at the beginning, because it would push back way too far the ability to ramp up and do what they have to do. I would have to think so.
That might make sense. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's not like they're out back just spray painting them by hand when the orders come in. I mean,
pretty much sort of, I won't say a downer keynote, but not as exciting as years past. So now we're at the point where we talk about the asides. So
this thing better be fast as hell. That's all I got to say about this phone, right?
If you take the OS.
It better be fast.
The selling feature of the OS was that it was supposed to be optimized and be faster, even on old hardware. So I'm hoping that this feels like a more than just a brand new coat of paint, you know, to some of the older phones, but I would have to think that it is. And particularly with
it better be really fast, and Siri, I think, has to be a lot better now. I mean, like, this is the time. This is the phone.
So my son's eight should feel like it just jumps out of my hand when I put 12 on it.
this is the phone. This is the one where, you know, they're touting the faster processors, the 5 trillion whatever blah 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 is a second. I mean, this has got to be the one where Siri catches up or Apple ain't catching up.
Catch up or shut
market.
Up.
Yeah. I mean, it really is. I mean, this is it. This is, you know, you didn't do a whole lot else, but if you can make that part right, then nobody will say anything about the rest.
Agreed. So now for the asides that we noticed from the announcement. So I noticed that sites like The Verge and Ars Technica are still writing these crap articles about the headphone jack being gone. And they're no longer including the dongle in the box.
Oh, come on. Just drop it already.
If it's that big a deal, I mean, honest to God, if it's that big a deal, go get an Android. Just go get one and just don't look back. If that's your defining thing that you need from a phone.
It's waterproof. You could drop it in the toilet now and pick it back up and like dry it off and go on your business. I mean, that's infinitely more important than a headphone jack.
To hear some people tell it, you know, our Android friend that we normally rib on this show, I can remember a year ago or even more going on and on about the headphone jack. I'm like, do you really use your headphones? And I see him at the gym on a regular basis. So yeah, he does. Even though I'm walking around wireless, it's like, oh, okay, more power to you, man. If that's what you need, then that doesn't factor into my decision at all. Like I would rather
even before I bought iPods, I was still using wireless, you know, Bluetooth headphones.
Yes, I agree. I don't like winding the cord around. I don't like it getting tangled up, and I want to ditch it whenever I can. So it's a problem that I don't understand how someone still has in 2018. I really don't.
I don't like, you know, not being able to turn my head and kind of feel that weird little tug on your shirt collar, or, you know, that's bothersome to me, just being an OCD type person.
Yeah, I hate that tethered feel too, but it's still funny they're still writing the articles about this, and it's been, what, 3 years now at this point? So get over it, folks. It's the third release.
Just drop it already.
Briefly before we started, I talked a little bit about, I actually left my Sony noise canceling, really nice over-the-ear headphones in St. Louis last week. And I have a coworker that's got them for me. But when I flew out this week, so I didn't have them. So I actually took my old little, still laying around the house, I had a really nice set of Sony earbuds, like in-ear buds, you know, wired. And I threw them in my bag thinking, okay, on the plane, they're not noise canceling, but they're noise isolating, right? And so I threw them in my bag, you know, thinking I'd plug them in. And I made sure that the little dongle thing was in my bag. And I got on the plane and I was just like, I don't even want to deal with the damn wires. I just put my AirPods in and dealt with the noise and just cranked it up and dealt with it. Because I would rather do that than deal with the wired headphones. I mean, I thought about it before I left the house. I'm like, you don't have your headphones this week. What do you want to do? I'm like, all right, well, go grab those. They're really nice. I mean, they were really nice when I bought them. And, you know, they're still just like in the bottom of a drawer at the house. And so I pulled them out and I didn't even touch them. I was just like, you know what? I've got my AirPods in. This is fine. You know, I was reading work material on the plane this week because it was, you know, a later day flight. It wasn't like I was flying out at 6 a.m. I was on the plane at like 4 or 5 p.m. So it was fine. You know, I was reading email and work documentation. So I just kept my AirPods in and everything was fine. It was like, I don't even want to touch wired headphones now.
I'm just like, AirPods are just, don't even bother.
Yeah, AirPods are GTFO. Yeah.
AirPods or don't bother.
I know people make jokes about the dongles, but honestly, if you're on a MacBook, maybe it's a bigger deal, but it's never even something. I'll travel with them sometimes. I'll have them on the little board, but I hardly ever use them. I don't know. Just I don't miss it. But still, kind of silly. If you really want one, spend the $9. It's the cheapest thing, literally the cheapest thing you can buy at the Apple store if you really need one.
I actually think the little adapter for the Apple Pencil is the cheapest thing, maybe.
How much is that?
The little Apple Pencil charger. I think that might be cheaper than that. I don't know. We'll have to bet on that.
I mean, Monoprice had AirPods on sale for $135 this week. So, I mean, it's almost...
We're going to cover that,
right? The markdown
is,
you know, worth it.
I'm bitter about that. I'm very bitter that there are no new AirPods announced today. That was like, I'm excited about the watch, even though I'm not getting it. I'm going to get the phone because I am who I am. But I was a little bit bitter that there were no new AirPods announced today. Because
well, when I saw them on sale, I was like, surely,
exactly,
there's going to be
exactly
new AirPods today.
So we're getting ahead of ourselves. I can't find the thing you're talking about for the Pencil online to buy. I know the tips are $19, so that's still twice what the adapter is.
Wow, and those are just like little plastic nubbins.
Yep, so literally the headphone adapter is the cheapest thing as far as I know that you can
buy.
It's
one of my favorite words,
nubbins. Let's see, the HomePod is getting support for multiple timers, phone call support, and search for songs by lyrics, which is nice. Particularly the phone call piece. My parents will be able to use that. It's a great, again, we've talked about this many times. It's a very expensive, great speakerphone. You should be able to use it as such. So I'm very excited about that. That should drop, I would think, Monday. Because normally whenever the new version of iOS comes out, you're able to push it to the HomePod through the Home app. So I'd be surprised if we didn't see that. But again, they didn't really commit to when it was going to be available. But since it runs iOS, you would figure that's what's going to happen.
Oh, and just as a reminder, we didn't talk about it, but the EKG thing it's coming. It's not a with the watch. I'm pretty sure they said it's coming this fall on the watch. The EKG does not ship with the new watch.
Are we sure about that?
I'm pretty sure. I heard what was watch guy's name today? He said coming this fall. I swear he said coming this fall and not like next week.
It's kind of like listening to Jim and Brian and they're married. It's like Jim says something and Brian's like, you sure about that?
I'll tell you like I used to tell my ex-wife, Brian. Once I thought I was wrong, but I was mistaken. And that's why I have an ex-wife.
Well, we'll look into this and maybe we'll add an addendum to the show if that's the case. But in any case, it's still going to be very useful. Let's see. Some of the other things that were announced. The new 2018 iPhones will support background NFC tag reading with no app required, which is great, finally. I always hated having to go into an app to do something. Apparently, it will open the app when you get close to something, I guess. But background is going to be nice. Now, there's also an option for Apple Care Plus that will allow you to compensate for theft and loss. So one of the big things that a lot of people aren't aware of when they get Apple Care, a lot of the non-savvy among us that I've dealt with, is, oh, if my phone gets stolen, I can just go to AppleCare. It's like, no, that's insurance that you would need. And that wasn't something you had access to before, but now that's a part of that. And I was doing my pre-qual for my iPhone XS for Friday morning, and for an additional $4 a month, you can get the theft and loss, which, I mean, why would you not? I mean, that's your phone's probably more likely to be stolen or lost than it is, you know, dropped and damaged.
Yeah, I went ahead and added it today, too, on the pre-qualify.
Brian, can you walk us through that procedure while we're on the podcast here? What did you do to get yourself pre-qualified?
I went into the Apple Store app on the phone. Actually, I got a push notification on my watch telling me I should do it. I'd already done it by that point. And I got an email saying, hey, you need to go do this. Thanks for the nudge, Apple. Like, really? You have to push me toward it?
Right. Like you weren't already just having ants in your pants, you know, just waiting for the keynote to be over.
Exactly.
I checked Verizon and they just said I had to pay like, I think I'm like $95 shy of a half. So if I want to send mine back, it's like I have to send my phone back and pay them $95. But there were no options for the new phone on their site yet, so I'm guessing I'm gonna have to do the 2 a.m. deal in Dallas.
Just like give me a reason to pay the balance, you know.
So I discovered with the Apple loan through Citizens or whatever they use, the Citizens Bank, they won't let you make a payment. Like if you sign up online and get access to your loan, you cannot make an extra payment online. You have to call them. For some reason, it's really weird. I'm going to have to pay $56.16 to get, you know, my extra payment in, which is fine.
And I'm still thinking about this AT&T thing, but I'm not going to be home until too late Thursday night. And then I was going to go talk to him at the AT&T store, and I'm not going to have a chance to do that until Friday. And I'm not waiting until Friday. So
just remember, Jim, you have two SIMs in your phone now. So you can go get an AT&T SIM and pop it in and see how it if it blows your skirt up. And then if you want to keep it, you can work that out after the fact.
I'm not too worried about performance. I understand, you know, the AT&T is probably no faster or no slower. The thing, I mean, we talked a little bit about this, but I see AT&T as almost being the better deal now. If they're equivalent on the network, and, you know, some people will obviously disagree with you on that, that AT&T is able to bundle entertainment options that Verizon doesn't have now. But the one thing Verizon does have now that AT&T has not talked about yet is those little fancy little 5G boxes that they're going to release this fall that you could probably put on your account.
Yep.
So that looks pretty fascinating. So
300 meg down with no data cap.
Right. I mean, that to me, you know, I would ditch Spectrum for that in a heartbeat, if it really works.
The thing with bundles, though, too, is that they're usually promotional. They run out, and then they make their money back after they're, you know, they lure you in, and then they change it. And you still have promotional pricing on your DirecTV now, just like I do. And like I say, I have the promotional on my AT&T home internet that's never gone away. And I'm afraid to even mess with either of those things. Like, even if I was considering switching to that, I would have to be doing some serious back of the napkin math to make sure that when that promotion was over, I would not get screwed just because I wanted to, you know, hey, this feels right. Yeah, that would make me nervous.
At some point, you're going to have to jump ship. I mean, it just happens.
Let's see. So after no sign of air power at today's event, Apple wipes most mentions of it from its website. Yikes.
And that's why we didn't get new AirPods, because the AirPods were supposed to have the air charger. The air charger doesn't really need to exist without Apple actually having a charger they can sell to bundle them together. And so, boom. Just give me a new pair of AirPods with a case that doesn't charge, make them a little bit more waterproof than they are now.
And more battery efficient.
I would prefer them in black or white, but I will take white, a little bit better battery. Just give me some new AirPods. I mean, because we've been doing this podcast for, I don't know how long we've been recording now, but I'm wearing my AirPods to record because I'm out of town. And pretty soon, I'm going to hear that noise in my ear that tells me, you're going to be stopping this podcast, whether you like it or not, here pretty soon.
He just won't be able to hear anything while we talk. No, we are almost done. But that is kind of a bad sign. They also didn't mention that all of their phones that they released today actually charge faster than the current iPhone X do. And that's a big deal. I kept waiting to see that announced during the keynote, figuring, okay, they'll at least mention that. No word was given to it. So, you know, not only did they wipe all mention from it from the website, they ain't even saying nothing about no charging. There was no mention of charging.
Did they not mention any touch charging today?
No, not a bit.
So what about the 10, what about the new R? Is it have touch charging or not?
That's a great question. I assumed that it did. I don't think
the 10 did. So that's why I was wondering. I mean, is that one of the things they scrapped to save cost on it?
I'll double check.
The touch charging for that one.
I'll double check.
But yeah, some sort of quick charge. I mean, let's give Android credit where credit's due. They've had a quick charge protocol for a couple of years where you can buy, you know, third-party batteries that support their quick charge. You can, you know, buy different things that support their, you know, get your first 25 or whatever percent, you know, almost, you know, instantly really quick, and, you know, and then go from there. Apple's never really had that. And I think part of it is, you know, Apple treats their batteries and their processing, as far as that goes, a little differently. You know,
they also didn't have phones that exploded like a bag of microwave popcorn either. But
yeah, but that's a feature, not a bug. I mean, come on, let's be honest.
So we'll see what happens going forward with AirPower. But man, that is
literal burner phones.
That is not a good sign that they don't even mention that. Oh, we forgot to mention from earlier, but the band compatibility between older watches and the new series they're still there. So you can use all of those old expensive bands that you already have, and they should work just fine. Thank
God. If you're
God.
Brian.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I guess $50 is expensive, if you ask me. I mean, I paid $50 for this piece of cloth on my wrist. I mean, I love my Nike band, but yeah. So do you think they're going to look funny? You think that yeah, 20 millimeters is going to make it look a little funny if you're wearing an older one, or do you think the new ones are going to be? Did they say if the new ones were compatible with the old phones? How about that?
Old watches.
Old watches.
I would have to assume.
I did the same thing you did earlier.
See? You know, it remains to be seen. We don't know from a band perspective if the new... I would have to think that to maintain that compatibility, it's not big enough that you're going to have... You're not going to have two different band sizes on that. Do you get where I'm coming from? Like...
Yeah, but I mean, like,
it has to take up the same.
A equals B. Does B equal A? I mean,
every band that you already have working on the new model would seem to imply that it's going to newer bands work on the old models. I don't think they've made a distinction that would be the case. Like, you don't have so much room.
Well,
hanging
and there's
off that
a
watch.
Difference between looking funny,
yes,
and working.
Yes.
You know, being
that's my point. Yeah.
Or even like, being noticeable.
Are these new ones going to look like knockoffs? Because I've actually got a cloth one of these Nike bands that's I paid like $9 for, $8 for off Amazon. And before I got the real one, it looked really good. And then I got the real one and I realized that knockoff one was just a little bit thinner. And I'm like, that's a knockoff. I'm
it
like,
just
you
doesn't
tell.
Look as nice.
Exactly. And so I'm like, are these, you know, are the older bands that you put on your new watch going to look a little bit off? Like they fit, like they go into the notch, but they, you know, it's just like,
Looks a little janky.
Time will tell, but I've got faith here. I'm willing to bet that the new bands for the new models will be the exact same width. I mean, if you had the chance to do it and maintain that compatibility, it would be silly not to do it. You wouldn't, I don't think you're going to have a band that's slightly larger for the new phones than I mean new watches than you would for the old ones. It just seems like a very un-Apple thing to do.
Kind of like when you got your pleated dress pants and you gain a little weight and you start blowing them pleats out and they still fit but they just don't look right.
Well, we'll see. The other thing that was probably a little bit overlooked, I don't think they even announced it, but apparently the T-Mobile CEO, John Legere, is that how you say his name? Legere. He had tweeted out that the 2018 iPhones will support T-Mobile's 600 megahertz LTE spectrum. That is a big deal. And the reason that's a big deal, of course, with spectrum, the lower the frequency, you have a better chance of permeating buildings and things like that. So one of the things that was so valuable for Verizon for so long was they had a lot of that 700 megahertz spectrum, which was really good at that. So that's why they had a reputation of being more reliable. Well, now with T-Mobile having the 600 megahertz spectrum, potentially, you could see a market improvement in their service. I guess they got this sometime in mid-2017, and of course that was too late when the 8 and the 10 were getting ready to roll out. But these will be the first phones that actually support that. So one thing that I may do over the next few months is actually go get a T-Mobile SIM, pop it in that second slot, and you know just see how it adds up to the competition.
Or try an iPad Pro, right?
I could put in an iPad Pro, but I want an apples to apples sort of comparison. I mean, years ago when I switched from AT&T to Verizon, I actually had the Verizon iPad while I still had an AT&T phone, and that gave me a chance to see what the footprint was like and what the speeds were like, and that helped me cement my decision to move. But if I could do it in the same device, because really what I'm mostly worried about is the data more than the voice. I think most of us use our phones as data devices more than phone devices. So,
agreed.
So I want to see how that stacks up without having to swap my phone and, hey, you've just activated and changing your iMessage and all that other stuff that goes with it.
Yeah, he should have been like, T-Mobile, we're a poor man's AT&T.
We're AT&T on a budget, but not Cricket. Well, fellas, I think that should do us for this week. Kind of light for a what would normally be our longest content. Right up there with WWDC, but it is
covered
what it is.
Everything.
We did cover everything, and that's what's amazing.
I mean, we've like had these where it's like taken us three episodes to get through this,
and this one rather quick. So I know we'll be talking about it for a couple of weeks to come. So,
I mean, yeah, we've got to order them. I mean, we got to see what we buy. You know, we all get excited to see which watch,
and then actually have it in your hand
and see how it performs. So
yeah, once you get it in your hand and see how it performs, that's when you get real excited.
There's a difference between speculation and real life.
Truly. Well, I guess we're recording this the night of the keynote. We'll try to get this out pretty quick, and then we'll order on the 14th. And then the next time we meet, we'll talk about what we bought and what our experiences were like. Maybe we won't.
Goody.
Brad is so excited. How long have you had your phone, Brad?
Well, it's a 6S, so it's been a while.
He's practically our Syracuse, how long he hangs onto a phone. Well,
yeah,
that,
Brad's going to have a nice next Friday.
Indeed, and the Friday after. All right.
I'm going to be walking on eggshells. just freaking out.
Oh, I'll be glad you'll have AppleCare. Anyway, that should do it for this week, and I guess we'll see you when we see you. Have a good week, fellas, and later, fellas.
Later, fellas.
Please visit infiniteloopback.com for show notes and previous episodes. Follow us on Twitter. We're at infinloopback. That's at I-N-F-I-N loopback. I'm Brian B. That's at B-R-I-A-N-B. Jim is at Big Jim. That's at B-I-G-J-I-M. Jason is at J-S-N-Y-N-G. That's at J-S-N-Y-N-G. And Brad is at Meester Idle. That's at M-E-E-S-T-E-R-I-D-L-E. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.